We're continuing this morning on our series on good conduct, which, as you know, is for multiple use. It's going to the Sivakumar Saravan in Singapore for use at the Hindu center there. They're relying on him to coordinate the classes, and he finished his first eight-week series, which was on the five basic Hindu beliefs, starting with God is in all. We all know those. And he's starting up in July his second series on Lord Ganesha, and then his third series will follow, which is on the Yamas and the Niyamas. So we're ahead. He doesn't need the material yet. And we got a nice upbeat note from him this morning, and was saying that the Hindu center wants them to start classes in other parts of the city. So that's a good sign. And he was inspired also. He thought maybe as a result of this project, we could come up with a book for the parents, a simple course for the parents so that they could teach their children the same material that's being taught in the classes. So the classes are designed to be, shall we say, all denominational, not just Saivite. That's what the Hindu center requested. Can't be non-denominational, but it can be all denominational. And the series is also going to Arvind Raj and Sivaneshwaran for use with the it's called the Core Youth Committee. They're training some of the younger members to be teachers to the youth. So they're starting strictly a master course seminar series, drawing straight from the teaching. So that can be overtly Saivite and overtly Gurudeva. And then most recently, we have an opportunity to teach the Venkateshwara Temple in Pittsburgh. As you know, I went there, was it a year ago we went there? Went there a year ago in April, or so for the seminar. They had a seminar and wanted us to come and represent Hinduism today, and we gave a talk which presented Hindu megatrends, futurist view of Hinduism. And at that time they mentioned they'd like to have us involved in their summer camp. So a couple of weeks ago they knocked on our door and said, can you help? And we said, what's the age group? And they said, 8 to 12. So I personally declined. But looked around and found Isan Katir to volunteer. So they're paying all his travel there. So he and his son Karti are going there toward the end of July, I believe it is. And we're going to borrow some of the material that Sivakumar has prepared for the Hindu center and use some of that as well as other material we'll pull together for him. And again, give an all-denominational youth camp for children. And this is one of our efforts, is to get Gurudeva's teachings out in a broader way. And of course, one of the main areas is the Yamas and the Niyamas. Gurudeva stressed that quite heavily in recent years. He would talk about building character, becoming a better person, learning how to control our instinctive nature, tendency to become angry and harmful, learning to harness the intellect from all its ramifications, subduing our sense of pride and becoming a humble person. So that's the goal of the Yamas and the Niyamas, is to produce those kinds of qualities in a person. So that's our introduction. Remind us of the overview. Here's the lesson for the day, Niyama 3. Today's lesson on good conduct is on the third Niyama of Dana, which is to be generous to a fault, giving liberally without thought of reward. Tithe, offering one-tenth of your gross income as God's money to temples, ashrams, and spiritual organizations. Approach the temple with offerings. Visit Guru with gifts in hand. Donate religious literature. Feed and give to those in need. Bestow your time and talents without seeking praise. treat guests as God. Let's look at some examples illustrating the practice of this niyama. First example, near where a Hindu family lives, there is a Hindu temple where they worship regularly. Every time the family visits the temple, they are always sure to put a generous offering into the temple hundi. The family also regularly visits a swami at his ashram that is nearby. Each visit, they are sure to bring a cash offering, dakshina, as well as an offering of flowers and fruits. Second example, an orphanage visits certain families once a year to ask for a donation to help feed and clothe the orphans who live there. As the request is only yearly, the husband makes an especially large donation to the orphanage. Third example, a wife is very conscious of the principle that the guest is God, and when guests are in her home, always invites them to stay and join the family for the next meal. Fourth example, a Hindu society prints religious literature, which it distributes free at all the major festivals. Each piece of literature is sponsored by a different family and has their name on the back. Certain members of the society regularly sponsor these pamphlets each year as a way of spreading knowledge about the Hindu religion. All of the niyamas focus on expressing the refined soul qualities within each of us. In the case of dana, giving, the divine quality we are expressing is giving to help others without any thought of reward, such as recognition or future favors. Selfless giving effectively lessens the instinctive tendencies of selfishness, greed, avarice, and hoarding. Here's a story to further illustrate dana. A devotee worshipped regularly at a temple. There were always a number of beggars outside the temple, and the man would pass them by purposefully, ignoring them. One day he felt compelled to give some money to them. He noticed that afterwards he felt uplifted by this simple act. From then on, he would always be sure to give to the beggars before entering the temple, and each time he felt the same upliftment. This joy he felt in helping the beggars inspired him to start a monthly mass feeding at the temple, which the beggars and others who live near the temple now attend. The Tirukkural in its chapter 23, Charity, echoes this perspective on the upliftment provided by giving. How unpleasant a beggar's pleading can become until one sees his face so sweetly pleased. The Kural chapter on charity describes those who do not give as hard-hearted, bitter men who waste their wealth by hoarding it, and that men of good birth graciously give. The Kural also insightfully describes a key aspect of dana, which is giving without any thought of reward. Giving to the poor is true charity. All other giving expects some return. Gurudeva also describes the upliftment of the act of giving. He insightfully states that the reward of joy and the fullness you feel is immediate as the gift passes from your two hands into the outstretched hands of the receiver. He continues by saying that the fulfillment of giving that wells up within the giver as the gift is being prepared and as the gift is being presented and released, the fulfillment of the expectancy of the receiver or the surprise of the receiver and the fullness that exists afterward are all a part of dana. Let's now look at some of the many forms of giving. In our modern world, the most common form of giving is, of course, a gift of money. We make cash gifts whenever we visit temples and ashrams. We can also make something with our hands, which is a gift, which is an in-kind gift. For example, we have a carpentry shop at home and on weekends make furniture that we donate to orphanages and homes for the elderly. A third form of giving is giving our time. We help out at the local temple by cleaning the floors and other areas once a week. Another form of giving is imparting spiritual teachings. We purchase religious literature and give it away during major festivals. A fifth form of giving is religious feedings of the masses called anayagna, or simply yagam. We sponsor a monthly yagam at a large temple in our city, covering all the costs. Another form of giving is providing hospitality to guests. We offer them a seat and serve them a beverage and insist they stay for the next meal. The chorale in his chapter Hospitality speaks of the importance of hospitality in verse 81. The whole purpose of earning wealth and maintaining a home is to provide hospitality to guests. The chorale chapter stresses that hospitality yields success and wealth on earth as well as the joys of heaven. Let's look now at the different ways of giving. There are three common ways of religious giving: spontaneous offering, pledge, and percentage of income. Spontaneous offering is giving when visiting a swami or temple. Unless you visit the temple or swami, you do not give. A pledge is when you have made a promise to donate a fixed amount to religious or charitable organization. Pledges are usually monthly or yearly. For example, you have pledged $100 a month to a temple's building fund for a period of 2 years and fulfilled the pledge by mailing them a check each month. A percentage of income is when you have promised to donate an amount based on your income, such as 10%. This is a larger commitment and usually is done when you have made a commitment to a swami or ashram and are seriously pursuing sadhana and studying their teachings. When giving 10% of your income, the 10% that is set aside is called dasamamsha, or tithe. This part of your income is considered God's money and is not to be spent on your family needs. Therefore, a wise practice is that when you receive your monthly salary, you immediately set aside or write a check for that amount to the institution you are supporting. Some people who want to tithe start by setting aside a smaller percent, such as 5%, and gradually increase it to 10. Quite often, giving outside the home is done by the husband. However, it is important that the wife and children also be allowed to do so. Providing the wife with funds she can give away to religion or charity allows her to experience the upliftment that comes from the practice of dana, which then brings more joy into her life. Children should be taught from a very young age dana. They can be given a small amount of money to give to the temple, to holy ones, to one another, to their parents. When older and if their parents are tithing, they can be trained to set aside as God's money 10% of any gifts they receive on their birthdays or holidays. In conclusion, be generous to a fault. Giving liberally without thought of reward, tithe offering 1/10 of your gross income, dasamamsha, is God's money to temples, ashrams, and spiritual organizations. Approach the temple with offerings. Visit guru with gifts in your hand. Donate religious literature. Feed and give to those in need. Bestow your time and talents without seeking praise. Treat guests as God. Om Namah Shivaya.